Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, January 5th, 2015, and on today's podcast, we're going to look at Islamic terrorism, or the philosophy, the movement of jihad, or holy war, as it continued from 2014 through today. How goes the jihad today? There are many Islamic terrorist groups operating today, but for our purposes, we will mention only a few of the leaders. The Islamic State, operating across Iraq and Syria, and now, as we will see, apparently branching out with attacks into Africa and even attacking along the Saudi Arabian-Iraqi border. Al-Qaeda, which operates across the Middle East and across North Africa, East Asia, and other places, and seeks worldwide terrorist attacks. Al-Shabaab, which operates primarily in Somalia. Boko Haram, which operates primarily in the northern part of Nigeria. Some people might include the Free Syrian Army in Syria, opposed to Mr. Assad's government. But for our purposes, we will not do that. Al-Qaeda, once the leading terrorist organization and obviously capable of carrying out attacks worldwide, was weakened to near irrelevance by the rise of the Islamic State and its ideology. For more than 13 years, the United States has employed the full force of its intelligence and counterterrorism weapons against Al-Qaeda, and it has dispersed and splintered that group under this pressure. But the group has not been destroyed. If the pressure were eased, Al-Qaeda could possibly reemerge. Where do I get this information that Al-Qaeda has been weakened to near irrelevance? Well, from the sixth edition of the magazine of the Islamic State called Dabiq. This edition came out December 29th, and it's emphasized the split between the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. The Al-Qaeda inner core leadership were strongly criticized in this issue, along with the Afghan Taliban. The attacks were personal against the leadership, which makes reconciliation between the two groups seem unlikely. To this point, Al-Qaeda has been rather restrained in its response. We could conclude then that Al-Qaeda has failed in its goal of reestablishing the caliphate worldwide and failed in its goal of driving the United States military from the Middle East, especially the Muslim holy sites in Saudi Arabia. The Islamic State, on the other hand, has succeeded in accomplishing one of the goals of the jihadist movement, and that is the direct declaration of a global caliphate. Their success on the battlefield across Iraq, now having driven to within 20 miles of Baghdad, having captured hundreds of millions of dollars in currency and gold, along with many of the Iraqi oil fields, their control of approximately half of Syria, this all makes them a success territorially, as well, just as in terrorist theory. Boko Haram has not been successful at anything except wanton cruelty, murder, child rape, and the like. This is the MO of that group. The leader of Boko Haram, a man called Abu Bakar Shekau, in response to questions about the hundreds of schoolgirls his group has kidnapped and raped, said, quote, "There is no going back. The girls were married long ago," end quote. Al-Shabaab in Somalia, about the same thing, specializing in murder and kidnapping, unlike Boko Haram, though, which operates rather freely in Nigeria. Al-Shabaab is pressured and harassed continually by American counterterrorism forces. Al-Qaeda, like the Islamic State, has its own magazine. It's called Inspire. By the way, I would strongly recommend to you that you not look for these publications online for obvious reasons. Inspire, in its latest issue, continued the Al-Qaeda emphasis on worldwide terrorist attacks. It pictures the undercarriage of a commercial airliner being blown apart. Al-Qaeda has always encouraged attacks by lone wolf terrorists against the West. This is a good substitute, I suppose, for lack of the ability to mount attacks on an organized mass scale. Could the Inspire pictures of the airliners be an effort to encourage lone wolf attacks against airliners? I guess so, folks. Now, from Sunday's New York Times, we find this, an op-ed piece written by a man named Kenan Malik, entitled, quote, Radical Islam, Nihilist Rage, end quote. In his article, Mr. Malik poses the question, quote, what seems to bind these groups together is that they claim to act in the name of Islam. Why, many ask, do so many of today's most vicious conflicts appear to involve Islamists? And why do Islamist groups seem so much more vicious, sadistic, even evil, end quote? Well, Mr. Malik, maybe it's because they are so much more vicious, sadistic, and evil. Finally, folks, whatever spawned these groups or gave them reason to exist, they are there, and they are real, and they must be dealt with. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.